Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, imagine what it might be like to not able to afford to feed yourself and your family while living in one of the most developed countries in the world. Well, many British don't have to imagine this as it has become their reality. More and more Brits are relying on food banks in order to get their meals. Stay with us as we take a look at why many citizens of a developed country feel so impoverished.
New bleak prospects for Britain, where standard of living continues to plummet as the country is struggling against its worst economic recession in decades. Figures show that more and more people in Britain have dropped below the poverty line in the past couple of years. The British think tank Institute for Fiscal Studies says by 2020, one in four British children will be living in poverty. Other data show that millions are finding it hard to feed themselves. Earlier data from the House of Commons Library showed a 5.5% drop in wages after inflation since 2010. This has put Britain among Europe's bottom four countries, including Greece, Portugal, and the Netherlands. As Britons struggle to make ends meet, they have to grapple with another problem: dire conditions in the healthcare sector. The National Health Service says the British healthcare system has caused thousands of needless deaths since 2005. The NHS has described how each hospital lets its patients down badly through poor care, medical errors, and failures of management. Only between 2005 and 2008, as many as 1,200 unnecessary deaths were reported in the Stafford Hospital alone. The scandal has forced the NHS head to announce his resignation in March 2014.
Good report, and it's a very thorough report, but we don't want it to sit on the shelf. And our experience of recent governments, that's all recent governments, certainly over the past 10 years, is that they have paid lip service to the really critical issues in healthcare.
Anger has been rising in Britain amid worsening economic and social conditions. Over the past few years, the country has been the scene of numerous protests against the government's austerity measures that are supposed to tackle Britain's deepening debt. Reports say the austerity could last for years to come.
I'd like to welcome my guest out of London, an expert on British affairs, Dr. Ali Hosseini, and out of Atlanta, Georgia, managing editor of Veterans Today, Jim W. Dean. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let me start this off in London with Dr. Hosseini. Now, there has been a 78% hike in food bank inquiries since the beginning of this year. Why do you think that that is the case, that we seem to be seeing a deterioration economically?
Thank you very much for the invitation and welcome you and your guests and the people listening or watching Press TV. There have been an overreaction when this government came to existence, the Alliance government. There were some difficulties noted and signals given by the last Gordon Brown government, but they were not in the public domain, mainly for the reason of the elections coming, and also for the reason that they were not quite sure how to deal with it. The Alliance government came into existence and they gave the austerity measures a top agenda. But there were reasons to believe that although that was required, but that has not been well thought of or done in a stepladder way. It was done in a heavy-handed way and started from the bases, which affected the larger deprived sections of the community and the NHS, as your program introduction was pointing to, rather than going from the big capitalist companies or highly paid managers and politicians who could easily afford to start with the austerity measures and gradually move down the pyramid of the society. Mm-hmm. And that really has created a gap which might have created more problems.
Okay, well, Mr. Dean, the majority of people getting food from the food banks in the UK are actually those who are working, that they're either not working enough hours or the pay is so low that they just can't make ends meet. Shouldn't there be certain social safety nets guaranteed for these people in a society like the UK?
Well, the problem we have is In effect, in a modern Western country, that is the way that it's supposed to be. But what we've seen is there's a hidden force acting somewhere behind the scene that for some reason they seem there's some long-term benefit into third-worlding their own people. And the intelligence community people who actually follow long-term financial threats and trends for national security reasons, they don't understand why some of these countries have done it. Because in Britain, for instance, 37% of these people in the food banks have no savings at all. 50% are having to draw on what savings they have left to make ends meet. And of course, those 37%, many of them are having to go to payday loans to at the end of the month just to be able to get through, and paying high interest rates. So what's happened, which has us concerned, is none of these people are going to be able to contribute anything to increasing the economic stature of the country because they don't have any buying power. There's going to be no demand for consumer items, capital goods from these people because they're being reduced down to a subsistence level. Okay. And we don't think that this could have happened, even though the British elites have always dealt with the business community. But we're seeing now the reversal with what we used to deride the Soviet Union for their very low standard of living. We actually and consider that a failed government. We actually see very ironically that becoming what may be the result of Western governments now.
Okay, well, what about that, Dr. Hosseini, what Mr. Dean has said? He said it seems to be an attempt by these governments, or, for example, London itself, to actually impoverish its own people. Why would a government want their people to be in an impoverished state?
I think because it's mainly this type of people my friend from Washington was talking about are the soft target, and they could be easily pushed about, and they don't have the means to protect themselves. Like if people fall foul of paying their council tax or their parking fines, they will have lots of trouble to get that sorted, mainly because they would they have court orders, they will have various doubling of these fines, and as they are not able to work and produce the finance to pay these fines, they gradually will descend into people working against the system or probably doing illegal things to stay away from the mainstream of the requirements. And the government even hasn't considered that till lately when they said, well, we'll allow people to park for 5-10 minutes before they put the fine on their windscreen, while people were picked up by camera slowing down to find an address, and suddenly a camera would send them a fine for £60 because they slowed down. If they don't pay it within 14 days, it will double up to 120. So if that particular person with a young family not working and suddenly is faced with this sort of headache and dilemma, they're not going to have the focused mind to find work. They're going to fight against the system all the time. And he might end up finding himself with summons through the council's heavy machinery. And that gradually is spreading through this impoverished type of people my colleague was talking about.
Well, Mr. Dean, actually, according to Oxfam, it says that workers making a minimum salary are more likely to see their salaries cut. And at the same time, the directors of the top companies have gotten 50% richer in 1 year. What does this say overall about the UK society?
Well, it's a failure of the society and the system of government, because the continued consolidation of capital at the top, who basically have everything they already need, and when you have a situation where the justification used to be for that accumulation of capital is you had people that needed to bring that capital forward to invest in growth, to make sure that a growing population would have an increased growing standard of living. But that capital up at the top now is not going to be invested in growth because there's not going to be any. There's not any, you're going to have a deflation going on. So what we're beginning to see that the only real purpose in having all of that money accumulated and not letting it flow down to keep the society stable economically is that at some point those at the top really want the economy to implode so that everything that they don't own they can now buy up for 5 or 10 cents on the dollar. And as long as they own key things, we're seeing a real consolidation into energy, food. They're getting away from consumer type items. They want to have their wealth not even in money, but they want to have it in oil reserves, food reserves, land, things that people have to buy no matter what the price is. That's the now gold reserve, is to have your wealth in those types of things.
Let me just jump in here, Mr. Dean. What you're saying, then, are you telling me that this is a policy that is being implemented on purpose to basically implode, as you said, the economy? Are you saying that there are those powers that be that are willing to see that their people be destroyed and suffer just for financial gain?
Well, we're seeing it not so much on a country level, but actually on a worldwide level. So we're seeing the country players as almost like lieutenants in this thing. And this is one of the reasons why Iran is in the crosshairs, because Iran's a wild card. They don't have any debt. They're sitting on massive energy reserves. And one of the ways the wealthy have really increased their wealth and maintained it is even during a recession, they've been able to keep energy prices very high, even though demand has been down. And one of the ways they've done that, which has been a complete subversion, is with these potential war threats and Iran's going to nuclear bomb us and all this stuff that was completely fabricated. It's allowed those who've had money and energy to be able to keep those prices high, and they've been raking in tremendous profits preparing for what we think is going to be a collapse, because afterwards Iran is now being looked upon now as how in the world did their system reindustrialize the whole country when it was under sanctions, when all of these sophisticated, quote unquote, sophisticated Western countries not under sanctions have basically had their economies imploding. It's like they almost want to take Iran out because it's an embarrassing financial success for what they've done.
All right. Well, let's switch over to see what our Facebook viewers are saying about this topic.
The similar situation happens in the U.S. I personally think both Britain and America need forgiveness from billions of people whose countries are invaded. I pray for my fellow Britons who are struggling in waking up the society. You all need to take back your country from those Zionist bankers. Britain and the USA spend more money on foreign policy in order to maintain their superpower status, hence concentrating much on war in the Arab world and African countries at the expense of their citizens. The economic downfall is deliberate. It is essential before any major war, as is high youth unemployment and then conscription laws. Examine the last 10 years and you will see a step-by-step, well-planned execution of precursors to a major war.
Well, what do you think about those comments, Dr. Hosseini? Especially the last one, it says that the economic downfall is deliberate. Do you believe that all this is being done deliberately?
It is possible, but obviously one has to be well informed regarding the intelligence circles, how these policies are planned. But I think the main reason is probably a lack of properly thought foreign policy. Like, for example, the overseas help from the British government to countries in Africa or in other parts of the world. This has been costing the British economy billions of pounds. But recent reports have shown that these have not really been distributed according to the local needs of the populations. They were mainly carved out to help the local leaders who happen to be in agreement with the British foreign policy in general. And it's following of the footsteps of the U.S. Foreign policies. And as Mr. Deer was saying, many of these policies are falling victim of the Zionist ambitions dictated by the lobbies controlling the American administrations over the years.
What do you think about that, Mr. Dean, what Dr. Hosseini said, that it's perhaps some mistaken policies, policies not well thought out as far as the foreign policy aspect that actually could be causing these economic problems in the UK?
I agree in that they've certainly been mistakes in a way in terms of looking at that. But as some of your commenters basically said, again, this is, we're looking at this from an intelligence point of view. These overseas wars, what difference, what does the word democracy mean when 70% of the British public want nothing to do with invading or taking Syria down? They're no threat to Britain whatsoever. And yet their democratic government pays no attention to them whatsoever. We find out that years ago they were already planning to do this. The same thing in America. 70% of people don't want anything to do with Syria or America getting involved there. And yet, even someone, a liberal like Obama, has been slowly getting involved in this in some type of way. And we don't really look upon that as a democracy. There are hidden hands that have a policy that they don't want us to know, because none of this makes any sense. But it has to be making sense to somebody in a very powerful position, because why else would democratically elected politicians not care what their public said, but they're obviously listening to someone else that is more powerful than their own publics? And this is what has a lot of worldwide intelligence people concerned, not only in the US, but we're talking about this. This is happening all around the world. Who is really benefiting from this?
Well, let me pose that question to you. Who is really benefiting from this, Mr. Dean?
Well, we're seeing there's an international worldwide financial cabal. If you look at where most of the money is, the EU gave us a tip a month or two ago when they found out, they did a study on the trillions of dollars that were actually offshore and untaxed, and of course they were kind, they didn't use the word also stolen funds, that there was really no way that they were going to be able to pay off their debts, or they were going to be able to have capital injections to create the turnarounds that they needed if these quote unquote offshore, or what I would say stolen funds, remain that way. So we began to think that what they might want to be able to do is all those funds in those areas could never be repatriated and could never be put into the financial system unless people could show a pedigree that these monies were earned legally and taxes would be paid on them. And if they could not show that, those funds would be confiscated, put into an escrowed fund, and held for them until they could find the paperwork to show that those monies were earned. So really, all we have left now as a people to recapitalize ourselves and really save the ship from sinking is all of those stolen funds from all of these sharp people who thought they've outsmarted us. We actually have to seize, put those funds in escrow, and make them available for economic recovery. And then anybody that can come forward and prove that these funds were earned legally, they get their money back. But I can assure you that most of them will not be able to do that.
Well, Dr. Hosseini, as the gap widens between the have and the have-nots, how likely are we to see social unrest taking place in the UK?
Well, it has happened a couple of years ago, the August riots, as the official version of the media was putting it, was quite a serious sign, which really shook the British government at the time, at the time when it was quite capable of dealing with things, which showed that If a similar thing happened, and probably with the more widespread dissent and a deeper feeling of the deprivation and the poverty and the bigger gap between the rich and the poor, then there would be no return, more or less like what is happening in Egypt might happen here. And I don't think the security forces or the police will have enough resources to bring that under control again. So these are really worries which British politicians are advised to take into consideration rather than just blaming it on some hooligans or misbehaved youth, which what happened at the time. And I'm sure there are people, think tank committees in the British establishment, who are still studying these August riots and see how they can be prevented in the future through proper political and administrative policies.
Okay. Well, on that note, I'd like to thank both my guests. We are unfortunately out of time, out of London. Dr. Ali Hosseini, expert on British affairs and managing editor of Veterans Today out of Atlanta, Georgia, Jem W. Dean. Thank you both for being with us. And viewers, as always, we appreciate you being aboard right here on another program. And hopefully we'll join us same time, same place tomorrow. Thank you so much and goodbye.